Welcome back to Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. We are honored today to have a very exceptional writer here to give us some logic in determining theories and understanding facts and disposing of these theories, hopefully once and for all. And he's John Hamer. He wrote The Falsification of Science. And where would we find your website or link to this book so people may imbibe?
Well, my author page on Amazon.com or Amazon.wherever you are. If you go onto Amazon itself and then key in my name, which is, sorry about the bird in the background there. Key my name, which is John Hamer, H-A-M-E-R. You will find my author page, and it's possible to purchase my books through Amazon. I also have a website. Sorry?
Mm-hmm.
I also have a website, ahead. Which is falsificationofhistory.co.uk. Now, you can't actually buy my books through the website, but it does. There are a lot of interesting articles on there that don't actually appear, some of which that don't appear in my books. So there's a lot of information on there. And all my podcasts and interviews that I've done over the last 1 to 2 years are on there as well, if anybody's interested in hearing more of me speaking. Those are the two main areas where my work can be found.
Indeed, indeed. And as I've said many, many times, parents do things to proof their children for life. And one of the big ones you always warn your kids is you look both ways before you cross the street. You don't take candy from strangers. But we take this intellectual candy, and we're told not to look when we cross the street.
Yeah.
I'm worried. Don't be worried. Look into John's works, and then you'll find out, in a more layperson's format, how we've been cheated. And you'll have the basic building blocks to actually encourage and motivate other people to take those first steps away from the cult of science. And you know what? When that happens, I think we'll find freedom falls from the sky like raindrops. You wanted to continue a little bit more on evolution? Please do.
Yeah, I'll just round off evolution, if I may, George. What I'd like to say to finish off with is that I believe that this theory is really propped up and, well, initially promulgated by Freemasonry, I believe. And I think I've got an example which I believe proves the fact that Darwinism is one of the biggest deceptions ever created by atheistic Freemasonry. And this is a resolution that was unanimously carried in a Freemasons meeting in the very early part of the 20th century. And it was the 33rd degree Supreme Council in Paris, in whose minutes they promoted evolution as true science, whilst they themselves actually found the idea hilarious. Now, I'll quote the minutes to you and you'll see what I mean. Okay. It is with this object in view, i.e. the scientific theory of evolution, that we are constantly, by means of our press, arousing a blind confidence in these theories. The intellectuals will puff themselves up with their knowledge, and without any logical verification of them, will put into effect all the information available from science, which our agenteur specialists have cunningly pieced together for the purpose of educating their minds in the direction we want. Do not suppose for a moment that these statements are empty words. Think very carefully of the successes we have arranged for Darwinism. Now, after that, atheistic Freemasonry in the US then picked up on this revolution, and in its March 1922 edition, the New Age magazine, stated that atheistic Freemasonry will be enhanced by evolution and the development of man itself. So the false scientific image of evolution is a deception set in the 33rd degree atheistic Masonic lodges, and Masons openly admit that they will use the sciences and media, which are totally under their control, of course, to present this deception as truly scientific. A concept which, as I say, they quite openly regard as being hilarious. So I think it's absolutely safe to conclude that Darwinism, the theory of the survival of the fittest, and its twin sister, the theory of evolution, together with the official versions of paleontology and archaeology, such as they're practiced, are all pseudosciences. In fact, they are surreptitious tools, I believe, for mind control, as I kind of got onto a little bit at the beginning. And their main purpose is to cut us off from the roots of the true history of humanity and promote a simplistic, naturalistic, mechanistic, atheistic view of life as being merely survival of the fittest. And, you know, I do realize I've not gone into any more specifics, of which there are a lot in my book. This was just a kind of a general overview of why I believe evolution is an incorrect theory, yet it's promulgated as absolute fact. So that kind of rounds the evolutionary little bit up. So, you know, please, where would we like to go next?
Well, let's have a big bang and find out how the universe, our existence, got here, and some of the holes in the story.
Sure. I think the most pertinent question we can ever ask is a very simple one, and that is, how was the universe and everything within it, especially the planet which is our home, created? How was it created? And the equally simple answer, I believe, is that no one knows. No one. Not even mainstream science, despite the fact that they disingenuously and dogmatically claim to the contrary. You know, we're told confidently, but without any justification whatsoever or proof by scientists, that around 14 billion years ago, there was nothing, and that this nothing suddenly exploded in a big bang and created an unimaginably vast universe of billions of galaxies, stars, solar systems, and planets. And on many of these planets, including our own, of course, life gradually evolved, you know, back to the evolution thing again. Also from nothing, and eventually produced, allegedly, super intelligent beings, which we refer to as the human race. And these so-called facts are repeated ad nauseum by the scientific establishment and its apologists, the controlled media, until we poor dupes cannot even conceive that it may be inaccurate. It's constantly presented to us as settled science and absolute fact, and we, for the most part, absolutely believe it. However, if we analyse all of the above, does it not seem to you to be a rather glib conclusion? Despite the questionable science assigned to it in order to furnish a plausible explanation, surely an explosion that creates something from nothing would immediately contradict one of mainstream science's great laws, which is the first law of thermodynamics, which clearly states that matter cannot be created nor destroyed. It can only be changed from one form to another. So matter cannot simply create itself, and in the real world cannot spontaneously arise from nothing, whether or not the instigating event is an explosion. I mean, within the bounds of natural law, all effects must have a cause. And because of this fact, the spontaneous appearance of hydrogen atoms out of nothing is a definite breach of the first law of thermodynamics, which asserts, as I say, that matter, under natural circumstances, can neither be created nor destroyed. Therefore, since it's not a natural event, it must be, by definition, a supernatural event, otherwise known as a miracle. So, are they telling us now that science believes in miracles? I mean, seriously, I mean, it's a ridiculously weak starting point for a totally unrealistic and materialistic scenario. But, don't worry, because good old science has got a get-out clause for this paradox. Several physicists have now recently proposed that the laws of physics are different elsewhere in the universe. However, this isn't supported by even the smallest shred of evidence. It's just yet another flimsy theory. And this amply demonstrates, to my mind anyway, the lengths to which some will go in an attempt to prove a finite beginning for the universe. Indeed, science is absolutely replete with what I call these logic patches. In other words, they're there to patch and conceal holes in insubstantial and proven and totally adequate fraudulent theories. But I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not saying that I have an answer to this conundrum myself. I mean, the difference being though that I don't feel that I've got to invent one to fill a gaping hole in the knowledge base. But this is what science does all the time. They never admit that they don't know something. They always have to come up with a theory that further propounds this massive agenda that they're constantly thrusting at us, bombarding us with 24/7. And it's always got to protect its norms from being assailed by the truth. This is how they promulgate it. But the theory itself, the Big Bang Theory, was actually proposed in the late 1920s, I believe, by a guy called Georges Lemaître, who was a Jesuit priest, strangely enough. And a lot of the listeners out there, I guess, understand the inordinate influence that Jesuits have upon, you know, the paradigm of truth that we're living at the moment. And I actually believe that this was a kind of an acceptable halfway house for both science and for mainstream religion, because it kind of satisfied both sides of the argument. And up till then, science and religion have been at loggerheads about the creation of the universe, but this kind of just naturally sat in the middle and kind of smoothed the waters for both sides of the debate. And I believe that's why it's been accepted and why it's been promulgated down the years, because it does serve that purpose of actually, satisfying both parties, if you like. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a really significant aspect of it.
Oh, indeed, indeed. And, it's just such a shocking thing, really. Like, you get into the spinning ball model of our planet and such like that. And, you know, I remember that from my childhood when we were being brainwashed in school and in our science class. And none of us believed what they were telling us because we couldn't see it with our own eyes. We couldn't feel it with our own bodies. And we were bright enough to understand that. But we were also bright enough to understand that we're cogs in a wheel. And if we don't submit to the system, we can't pass. Well, we all went outside at recess and did experiments at the playground to prove that we're not on a spinning ball, and I think our childish experiments were more accurate. We knew that there'd be resistance by air to slow us down if we were moving at whatever purported speed we were supposed to be moving at. So if we jumped off the ball, we should slow down slightly and land in a slightly different spot. And considering the speeds were so great, and we know how fast a moving car goes, we were just spellbound that no matter how hard we tried, no matter what we did, we landed in exactly the same spot down to the smallest fraction of an inch. And we said, this is hogwash.
Yeah,
if you're moving, you know, okay, we only ride bikes, but you feel the air on your cheeks.
Yes.
Open up that canopy on your jet fighter, you're going to feel a little wind blast, and we're supposed to be moving more than that. Something's rotten in the state of Denmark. That rotten fish that I talked about being in the fridge, that all-pervasive smell is escaping again. It's only force and pressure making it the truth.
Sure. I mean, the reason that they give for that particular phenomenon is that, the Earth's atmosphere is moving with it, and we're trapped within the atmosphere, so that's why we don't feel it. But, I mean, it's just, as you say, hogwash.
You may move away from the ground, it should be losing its velocity, so you should feel it. So, yes. You know, even if you lose 50 miles an hour to go up, you know, a reasonable distance and 100 miles an hour to go further, well, that's noticeable, it's observable, you should be able to feel it. Every day should be a really windy day on Earth if we were really moving at that speed, because these little molecules of air aren't attached by wires to the ball. Mm-hmm. So they're free to move. And they won't go. They will lose velocity at various rates for various kinds and such like that. But it should be obviously notable that we're in a giant wind tunnel if that was the case. And it's not the case.
No. And one of the things that always puzzled me, George, is that you know, why doesn't Earth's atmosphere just dissipate into space? You know, I was always taught as a child in science that nature abhors a vacuum, and it tries to fill vacuums. And so what is actually keeping Earth's atmosphere in place? You know, because you just, the transition is from the atmosphere straight into the vacuum. So what is actually keeping that in place? You know, they don't tell us that. I don't know if they present an argument for why that is the case, or whether they just try and brush it under the carpet and hope it, you know, hope it goes away. But that always puzzled me. You know, why doesn't the atmosphere just boil off into space? What's keeping it in place?
Well, there was a great video I posted on my website when I found it. Hopefully it's still there, and the Thought Police haven't taken it away. But I think it was called Under the Dome, and it's a very interesting explanation for all this stuff. And there was a secret military project with the Russians and the Americans working hand-in-hand to blow up hydrogen bombs, so they say, in the atmosphere to try to punch a hole through this. And I'll have to remember to send you a picture of something I took during an eclipse a few years back over Toronto that just shows this very interesting anomaly in the sky that looks like something boring a hole through it.
Right. Well, I've seen, funny you should mention that. I mean, I don't think I've seen that particular one, but I've seen a video just recently, actually, where it was... Not a nation, but an independent group of scientists who sent up a rocket, and there are cameras on the outside of the rocket, and as it's going up, you can see this quite clearly. The rocket actually gets to, I think it's about 50 something miles up, and then it hits something. It actually hits something, and it can't go any further, and it stops, and then it kind of falls away.
I've seen that myself. Very interesting. And another thing people point out, that when our rockets take off, they don't go straight up. When you look at any that's picture of them over a great distance, they go up for a while, and then they start to turn down somewhat, so they're more in an arc form.
Yeah.
Taking the long way around, you know, the scenic tour across the park just to get the meter running and get more money, perhaps. But it's not what you would perceive or think.
No.
At all.
Yeah.
And
I'd also like to make it clear, I get a lot of criticism for being a flat earther, because a lot of truthers believe everything that they're told, that, you know, that contradicts the official narrative, apart from Flat Earth. And Flat Earth has got this really bad press somehow, even amongst the truth community. So I do get a lot of criticism, and you know, I take it on board. I know it's really hard to get your head around. But I don't actually regard myself as a Flat Earther as such. I just regard myself as a Globe Earth critic. I don't know whether the Earth is round, square, disc, you know, diamond-shaped. I have absolutely no idea, but what I do is question the globe Earth, you know, and then that is where I'm coming from. So,
Interesting you mentioned that, because I was doing a search about that, and I inadvertently came across a flight school in the UK talking about the Earth, and they described it as a spheroid. So it wasn't exactly flat like a pizza, but it wasn't a ball, and... that's pretty cool, because when you get up there, you got to start to figure a few things up. And the higher you go, the more obvious things are. So they had to have a better explanation, and spheroid seemed to be the one. And I took that as, well, even the masters have something to say about what reality is. But reality isn't what they tell us. We can almost take that as a given. If there is a law, the law is that whatever they say is a lie until we prove it to be the truth. And you know, we thank you for taking the time and effort to expose a lot of these things. And we're involved in one of the biggest lies right now that's ever been purported on the human race. And maybe we can just start to whet the appetite before the break with germ theory.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for those people who are not aware, there are two opposing theories. There's the germ theory and then there's terrain theory. Now, germ theory was the brainchild of a guy called Louis Pasteur, who most people have heard of in connection with the term pasteurization. Pasteur was a French scientist who lived in the 19th century, and he came up with this idea that tiny little organisms cause disease. And he was at loggerheads with a guy called Antoine Béchamp, who was another Frenchman, who came up with a completely opposing theory called terrain theory, which some people out there may have heard of and be aware of, obviously, because it is becoming more to prominence with what's going on in the world right now, as you can say. So these two theories were a loggerhead with each other for quite a while, until very close towards the end of Pasteur's life, he actually changed tack. And he actually said that he'd been wrong all along, and that Antoine Béchamp had the correct theory, which was the terrain theory. I'll come on to explain what that was in a little bit. But with germ theory, the powers that be, or the powers that shouldn't be, i.e. the Rockefeller-controlled medical industry, which the entire pharmaceutical industry worldwide sprang, it wasn't in their best interest to use terrain theory as the basis for the medical paradigm that we all live under, because all pharmaceutical medicines are based upon germ theory. They're about killing organisms, and not about what terrain theory actually is. It states that disease is caused by toxins within the environment, hence the word terrain. And what actually happens is, when you get symptoms of an illness, that is your body fighting back against those symptoms.
Indeed, indeed, and we're fighting back. We're fighting back with as much truth as we can muster and as much courage to pass on that truth. Power Our Nation. We'll be back at the other side of the break.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, Our Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. Joining us for this next segment is John Hamer, and he is the author of The Falsification of Science. And while we have you, we'll have to pay for the gas a little bit and go through the promotion items that we have at the Power Mall this week, because good health comes from good fuel, and some of the best fuel you can put in your body is going to come from Power Hour Mall, because it's natural, it's healthy, and it's not big pharma. So this week on sale, buy one, get one, Tranquil by Dr. Matthew Pfeiffer, sale good while supplies last, flash sale, 30% off, good health naturally, high Zorb Q10, and Essential Digestive Plus while supplies last, and hopefully last long enough for me to get one. 10% off Happy Bodies Detox Cocktail and Phosphatol Choline, 10% off Good Health Naturally products, Strauss Naturals, Magnesium Oil, Precious Prill Beads, Miracle 2 products, Willard Water products, 25% off Grown by Nature Iron and Molybdenum, can't go wrong. New products, Miracle 2 Neutralizer Gel, Bach by Popular Demand, Global Healing Center, Acid Reflux Relief, Paratrex, North American Herb and Spice, probably one of the better companies around by far, Herbal Z's, and Hyper E's. And how many people could use some good Z's or some good E's? Probably because they haven't picked up the armor of God for one reason or another and try to fight the demons on their own. But you can get some help with Power Mall. Do be sure to check it out and keep the news and information flowing here. Okay, welcome back, John. Perhaps we can carry on a little bit with the germ theory and walk us into the great COVID plandemic.
Yeah, the biggie. Yeah, I mean, obviously most of the germs that enter our bodies from the outside, we're told, are quickly dealt with by the immune system. But in reality, George, sickness has nothing to do with microorganisms invading our bodies, I believe so anyway. These microbes already exist within us. And I'd like to read out a quote from one of my friends, a guy called James McComiskey, who wrote a book called The Ultimate Conspiracy, The Biomedical Paradigm. Again, an excellent book, and I would highly recommend it to anyone. But James said in his book, he said, the medical myth of the immune system came about in the early 1970s to explain why some people are susceptible to diseases, cancer, etc., whereas others are not. The immune system has been presented to us as a type of army in our body whose job it is to eventually destroy the malignant cancer cells and malignant germs. There is no such thing as a malignant cancer cell. They exist when one is suffering from cancer. They do not cause cancer. Cancer is caused by biological shock. There is also no such thing as malignant germs. They are active in the reparation phase of all disease. The medical myth of an immune system is another dogma invented by modern medicine to explain why the germ theory of disease dogma does not work. I think that's highly telling. So, in reality, whether you get sick or not and die has very little to do with so-called catching diseases, but everything to do with whether or not we keep our bodies free of the dead matter upon which these microorganisms feed. Okay. As I said, towards the end of his life, Louis Pasteur ultimately admitted that his theory was a total fraud. But of course, the pharmaceutical Rockefeller medicine men decided it was a great way to make money, and they've been doing that very, very successfully for over a century now, well over a century now. Yeah, I mean, Pasteur realized that the germ theory was flawed and reversed its position, and he actually acknowledged that germs weren't the primary cause of disease, but it was something called Koch's postulates that proved to be the ultimate proof of that premise and provided a clear basis for the scientific testing of the theory. It was a German scientist, a guy called Robert Koch, who was a bacteriologist, a physiologist, and one of Pasteur's contemporaries. that he specified a testing procedure which to this day is considered a valid endorsement of the true scientific method. And he proposed four, what he called postulates, to prove whether or not a microorganism is pathogenic and thereby the cause of a specific disease. Now, they are, number one, the pathogenic microbe can be observed in the body fluids of a host suffering from the disease. This pathogenic organism is not present in a healthy host. Two, the pathogenic microbe can be isolated from the disease host and cultured in the laboratory. Now, this is a very important one, which I'll come on to in a moment. Expand a little bit on that and the current situation. Three, the cultured pathogenic microbe causes the same disease when introduced into another host. And four, the microbe can be re-isolated from that experimentally infected host. Right. Viruses, on the other hand, don't actually exist because it is not, and I emphasize that word very strongly, not possible to isolate them, which in effect means that they don't exist in the form that we're told. And this is highly significant, coming on to, as you mentioned, the great hoax that's been perpetrated on us all today, and it has been for the last 15, 16 months or so. So in order to prove the existence of a virus, isolate it, photograph it, you have to do this according to current scientific standards, because otherwise you cannot prove its existence. And this is exactly what is happening today with the hoax, as I say, the hoax that we're being subjected to. There is no isolation of COVID-19. No proof whatsoever that it exists. They are actually perpetrating this massive hoax upon us based on absolutely nothing. And I think, people need to understand that point, because once you do understand that point, there is no explanation that any so-called scientist out there can give that justifies what is going on. Nothing. We're being, this is about, it's not about a virus. It's about control, and it's about genocide. Yeah, because this is the beginning of Agenda 21, which has been in the pipeline. Some people may have heard of that, but it's an agenda that they put in place around 30 years ago now, for the destruction of society as we know it, and rebuilding it into the form that they want it to be, with a substantially reduced population. And this is exactly what COVID-19 is all about. It's not about a virus at all.
Oh, indeed. We are being conquered as a civilization. And it is beyond the abilities of most people to even begin to think that somehow they are vulnerable in one way or another. But it is very, very true. Like, Department of Homeland Security is doing a training course to prepare for mass public quarantine of the unvaccinated. And this is all part. They're the happy, happy, happy crowd that follow all these imaginary dictates, because they're created in your mind. It's the theater of the mind. When they did that classic old radio program, War of the Worlds, they realized they had you, that if you heard it on the radio, or in our case now the TV, or before that the print media, you would accept that, and we could create this artificial reality, and you would just go hook, line, and sinker to your death following these dictates of these madmen. And you're so easily tricked and manipulated because these people are in authority, and you just accept what they say without the slightest care or reservation, especially when the fear is activated in your body. You'll just, as my mother always used to say, you'll just be the lemming running off the cliff. And I never thought I'd ever live to see the day when all the lemmings were running off the cliff. But, I'm glad I understand that part. Because that's what makes, the more they pressure us, the more they force us, the more I'm resistant to say that this is the wrong move and there is an ulterior agenda. Elon Musk had a quote that I want to play for the next show I'm on, where he just said population collapse will be the biggest issue facing humanity.
Yes.
And how do you think that's going to happen? Roll up your sleeve. I'll tell you.
Yeah, exactly. I was speaking to a lady called an Irish, she's an Irish lady, an Irish professor of, I think it's bacteriology, called Dolores Cahill, which some people may have heard of. And Dolores was saying, she was on the same podcast as I was, and she was asked if, you know, what the worst case scenario with the vaccines is. And she actually said, and I do apologize if it scares anyone to death, but she actually said the worst case scenario with the vaccines is that everyone will be dead in 6 months that took it. And then she was asked what the best case was, and she said everyone that's taken it will be dead in 4 years. And that was it's just such a shock, and it's so grim. I suspect she's probably kind of exaggerating a little bit for effect there. But there's no doubt about it that a lot of people are going to die as a result of this vaccine. I mean, we've already seen, the SAERS database, we're looking at, I think it's about 45,000 deaths already, is it? Something like that. And we already know that, that they're so underreported, the adverse effects of vaccines, by something like 90%. So if that is the case, then we're looking at massive amounts of people that have died already, and this is just going to get worse and worse as time goes on, unfortunately, George. It's a very sad thing for me to have to say it, but, there's no point hiding. We've got to face up to this and realise that we're looking at genocide.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly, and, the big factor is we don't have to follow that crowd. Somebody has to survive, and, I trust that that's going to be primarily a lot of people that listen to this show, because, they are very, very aware in general terms, but also very determined in much greater terms. Mm. To say that we will not submit. We've known, since this station has started, that we've just been buried in lies and deceits, and we're just not going to take it. We're going to strive for the truth, and we'll be the holdouts. Someone has to write the history. Someone's going to have to turn out the lights when it's all over. The great poker game of life is at hand here. I place my bet in keeping my body pure. And I'll leave it to the others to take what they've taken. But from what I've seen so far, I've known three people that have had strokes after their injections, two very timely after the second injection. And, they're very fortunate we have modern medicine, or they'd be dead today, because they were treated very, very quickly and efficiently and restored to health. But that's a hell of a gamble to pay for something that probably doesn't exist and at best is no worse than the cold. It's generally been the treatment to this, the overwhelming panic of people in the emergency rooms to do things to your body that didn't need to be done in the first place and to prevent you from having life-saving medications. And that's where I had this Canadian doctor, Dr. Frank Trozzi, on here. He's an emergency room physician here in Canada. And he made it quite plain when he dropped out of medicine, how do I look you in the eye, knowing that the medicine cabinet has treatments for upper respiratory infections that will in all effect heal you and not tell you and have to pretend in this game that there are no treatments? And I have to agree with him. How do you look someone in the eye and tell them that? Well, I guess we're not Satanists, we're not Jesuits, and we're just not dirty scoundrels like the rest of them. But anyone who does try to tell you that is a flat-out liar. It's like I explained to a neophyte last week. There's two sides to a coin. And as soon as you start hearing something that says there's only one side to the coin, you already know you're being lied to.
Exactly.
So even without flipping the coin, I've pretty much made up my mind, but I'll flip it anyway and look at what's on the other side. And when I examine it compared to what you're telling me, the truth will manifest and the lies will fall apart very, very quickly. And that's why it has to be done this way, to manipulate you. And, you know, God help you all, really, for the horrors that may be coming down your way. And it breaks my heart that this may be the winter of discontent where we see the fruition of this horrible, horrible bioweapon, a patented bioweapon being put into people's bodies, and that many will succumb. And, you know, it's hard for me to contemplate, but people have to make a life choice. Unfortunately, it was with poisoned information, but they did make their life choice, and they are adamant about it, and that's your choice, and that's your decision, and I've made mine, and we'll see how the poker game unfolds. I'm getting the feeling I'll be writing the history. Well, actually, John can write the history. I'll just talk about it. He's a better writer, and we'll turn out the lights.
Yes, yes. I mean, there was even a freedom of information request that was sent to the British government in November last year, inquiring as to whether the COVID-19 SARS-2 virus had ever been isolated. And the response came back, and the answer was no. You know, and in, with that one single word, they proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that the COVID-19 virus doesn't even exist. Doesn't even exist. Yeah, it's just a complete and utter fabrication, total fabrication.
And it's amazing that so many people are willing to give their power to it. You get into your book, too, the same as my infinite colleague in media, Jack Mullen, talking about the one of the real reasons for a lot of these diseases is the electrical environments that we've built, and now we're getting into, you know, a much more powerful mechanisms 5G. With 5G, and they want to go to 6G, and then that has a big, big factor in making your body susceptible to injury and manifesting Absolutely. As disease.
Absolutely. 5G is a very, very dangerous, insidious mechanism, and I believe that I do actually believe that it's done deliberately. I don't think it's just a byproduct of them trying to increase the efficacy of communications protocols. I actually think that it's being done deliberately, and I think that there is some kind of link to the vaccines, and I can't quite get my head around what exactly that is and what the relationship will be. But I believe there is some kind of link between 5G, or there will be, not at the moment, but I think there will be some kind of link when 5G has become totally ubiquitous throughout the world, that I think the vaccinated people will be controlled using the 5G technology.
As Dr. Carrie Madej gets into great detail about transhumanism and how ultimately our bodies will be converted so that they become part of what's going to be the next thing, the Internet of People, will be hooked up to the cloud, and that currency transactions will carry on technologically through our body, that will be monitored, every thought, every action, every reaction, and that the so-called social credit system that China uses will be, you know, data-based, that deductions, you know, I'll probably be owing them a couple of billion by the end of the year for all the things I come up with. So, you know, it's like you can't squeeze water from a stone, but I'll take that route any old day, whether to have plain old cash or, you know, I got to get my pickaxe and look for gold or something. But this is, the ultimate degradation of human society is to turn you into a robot. And you could say, well, that's wild-eyed speculation. But, you know, I came across a policy paper by the Canadian government, Biodigital Convergence, where, you know, they're going to convert you into, you know, some sort of basically cyborg, and you will lose all sentient capabilities that you have. That's got to be the trade-off, because once you can program something, your program. You make a great point in your book when you're talking about Microsoft and Bill Gates, and that how in his computer life, you know, he's made everything tenable, that you have to keep coming back for upgrades and upgrades and upgrades. And I didn't really think about it to that degree, is that with every booster shot you get, you're coming back for an upgrade if they convert you into something biomechanical. And
I think
we all know what's happened in the computer world.
Yeah. It's the same model. Gates is using the same model there, and that is perpetuating his profit streams, just in the same way that you have to keep paying for Microsoft upgrades, otherwise your computer stops working. You know, you have to keep paying for your vaccines, otherwise your body stops working. Oh, so they tell us. So it's pretty much a similar model, and I think that kind of speaks volumes, personally.
Oh, indeed. And I'm hearing from scuttlebutt from doctors I've been in the presence of that, part of the game plan is to put a booster or another part of mRNA into the annual flu shot. So that way, we can start getting it into unsuspecting people who may have been adverse to getting this specific shot. But as I understand it, I think it was the Pfizer one completely destroys your immune system in time. So, anything that goes around will require that, payment to the troll, Mr. Gates. And why we'd ever want to put ourselves in that position, I can never understand. I was sent a quote that was supposed to be from Dr. Henry Kissinger. I haven't been able to verify it, but the words are ringing. Once the herd accepts mandatory forcible vaccination, it's game over. They will accept anything, forcible blood or organ donation for the greater good. We can genetically modify children and sterilize them for the greater good. Control sheep minds and you control the herd. Vaccine makers stand to make billions, and many of you in this room today are investors. It's a big win-win. We thin out the herd, and the herd pays us for providing extermination services. Now, what's for lunch?
Exactly. I mean, I'd not heard that quote before, but it's always obviously a very pertinent one. I can't confirm or deny whether it was Kissinger that said it, but it certainly sounds like the kind of thing he would say, to be fair, although maybe doing the guy a disservice in this instance. But it doesn't matter really who said it, does it? It just shows that idea is out there, and it's under consideration or under, in some kind of planning stage. There's, these people, they have no conscience. They have no empathy. They are satanic mass murderers. Simple as.
Indeed. One great old book I found that I posted in my website, in the library section, conspiracy-cafe.com, comes from the UK. It's from 1898. From the big debates back in other days, when smallpox was probably more on the agenda, vaccination a delusion, its penal enforcement a crime, proved by the official evidence in the reports of the Royal Commission. So that seems to be quite a difference of opinion. It's a short work, 126 pages or so, but well worth getting into the time capsule and looking back what other generations had to deal with. Because, as you do in your other book, history is falsified. It's all been propagandized and politicized to turn knowledge into a weapon, to put a false knowledge to defeat you, to beat you, to force you to your knees, make you grovel, and to prevent you from ever rising onto your feet again with discovering the truth about anything. And most of these leaders we have, they couldn't tell the truth to save their, or any truth to save their lives if it ever became necessary. It's just incumbent upon them to lie, and to lie so well. They don't even flinch when they're doing it. And maybe they were roboticized.
Yes. Yeah, there's no doubt that there is a huge conspiracy. I hate using that word, but there's a huge conspiracy. There's a huge agenda going on in the background. And that gender is promulgated by lying to us, because it's, if they told us the truth, they couldn't gain their objectives. So that is in a very small nutshell, that is the simple premise under which they operate. They perpetuate this agenda based on falsehoods that they tell us in every subject you care to name, but most specifically history and science, I believe. So as I say, that is just a very small snapshot of what's going on, but I believe that this is the only way that they can actually fulfill the agenda that they're constantly working to, and they have been for millennia, and that is total control and subjugation of the human race.
Indeed, and by using knowledge and information, it saves a lot of cash on having the legions in the street to whip you as you go by. But the effects are just as disastrous. The only difficulty is when you're being whipped in the street, you understand exactly what's happening. And I take great delight in the fact that people are massing all over to protest this, and that, you know, dead fish Macron is, you know, on the butt end of things in his country, and the UK, people are taking to the streets in droves. It's the only way, is just to non-compliance and just mass marching down the street. So there's not an inch of space anywhere on any of the roads. And the news media can not report and cover it up to their delight, but nobody's home watching it anyway. And as the great philosopher Gil Scott Heron said, and I loved that guy, and he was probably one of the greatest American philosophers going in the modern era, is the revolution will not be televised. And that's how we know it's a real revolution. And the revolution is in your mind.
Yeah, it's a great quote. Fantastic.
And that's the big thing. This is a war of wills, a war of intellect. It's, as I said, an analogies to the pandemic being like the war in the Pacific. We're in the island warfare campaign that the Americans fought the Japanese. And instead of hand-to-hand combat, it's head-to-head combat with knowledge and information. And we're going to win.
That's
going to be fun. Victory parade here on Power Hour Nation. We're running out of time, and we have to thank you, John, for coming and blessing us with all your research and assertions and detailed study. We appreciate it very much. John Hamer, The Falsification of Science. Look it up. Buy it. Free your mind.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, George.
Bless you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.